Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you? I am Ben Kissel, and I'm with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, you are.
What a joy. What a pleasure to be with you.
Isn't it a privilege to spend time with each other?
Yep. Okay. No, we really do like each other. I feel like
we do.
Yeah,
we're friends.
No, I know.
We are friends.
We are friends. If we say it eight times, it's true.
We are friends.
Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, none of this is possible. Hail yourselves. We really appreciate it, and we love you. And for you guys, for the interview this week, we actually were able to get in contact, or she got in contact with us. She was approached by Nexium because she's better than average. She's a superstar, and Nexium was like, we need this superstar
to be
in our cult.
You should very complimented. It means that you're one of the elite.
Yes. So Melissa is with us. Thank you so much for joining.
Hey, guys. No problem.
So we had a fun little side stories episode this past week. And thanks so much for everyone who's been listening to that and giving feedback. You guys have been unbelievably nice. So what was that experience like for you? I know we talked a little bit before we're recording here. You were kind of going through a downtime, as we all go through in life when we're most vulnerable. And did Nexium reach out to you during this time?
Well, my sister is close with a person that is involved in Nexium, like kind of pretty high up.
Is this in Albany or is this?
In Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they are huge in Mexico.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of really rich and powerful people are involved with it.
It seems interesting because Mexico, I think of it as kind of a religious folks. It seems interesting that the cult would do so well there.
Mexico is like Catholic light.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a good lifestyle thing, right? Where it's like you go because it's a societal thing. You and your family goes and your friends go to church.
Yeah, it's not quite how it is here.
Okay.
Even Catholicism here is like a little bit intense. And
So your sister knew someone who was fairly high up.
And she gave this person my information and she reached out and she put me in touch with this guy that I later realized is one of the main Nexium people.
Okay.
He's like.
Do you remember his name?
Yes.
Do you want to share it?
Should I?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Share it.
His name's Edgar Boone.
Edgar Boone?
Yes.
Okay.
And he apparently has, you know, his own special parking space in the Albany compound.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All the perks a cult can give, a special parking place in an Albany parking lot.
And he's still, I was looking him up and he's still like standing by Rainier and saying that it's all lies. And
really?
So yeah, he's still very much a part of it.
So when you got in contact with this guy, extremely high up, did you meet him like personal, one-on-one?
Yes. He asked me to meet in a hotel bar.
Okay.
Somewhere in Midtown, like a very kind of.
Very classy.
Yeah. But also not anything, I don't even remember what the place was.
Okay.
It was like one of those just generic, somewhat fancy hotel bars.
Yeah, yeah.
And.
They're always a little tacky. A little like we're fancy, which means like, oh, you're a little tacky.
Yeah. Oh, I love fake oak. That's the designer of a midtown hotel bar.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a lot of grays, neutral tones.
Perfect.
But so we met for a drink and then he just asked me about my life a little bit. And then
what was his vibe like? Was it like, I'm trying to recruit you into a cult? Or was it more like conversational? Like, I'm just a chill guy. You're a chill chick. Let's just have a convo.
It was like in the middle of those two.
Okay.
Because he was like wearing a suit or something a little bit formal. And he at first was just telling me about himself a little bit and then about what the programs were, because this was specifically for the executive success programs,
okay,
which they call the ESP.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, according to what we've learned is that like Nexium is sort of like the umbrella company and ESP was one of their more quote unquote legitimate offshoots. That was like technically the program that Richard Branson had joined that I guess apparently Vicente's Fox's daughter.
Oh, really?
Is also a part of in Mexico.
Wow, former
that
president.
That is their underground thing happening in the Mexican center, it seems to be. It's like they are getting involved in the government.
The person that my sister knows, she's very involved in it, and her brother is super high up in the Mexican government.
Really?
And then I didn't know about Fox's daughter, but I do know that Salinas, who was a president that we had, Carlos Salinas, his son is one of the main people there as well. Like, he recruits people. He has, you know, TED Talks about it and all kinds of things.
Wow, they're making real moves. They're making real moves in Mexico. They're doing kind of like the Scientology we have yet really to see in America. I feel like eventually we'll have some Scientologist congressman or something like that, someone who really starts moving in. Well, but we haven't seen it yet.
Maybe. Yeah, we couldn't even get Mitt Romney, and he's a Mormon. It's a relatively successful mainstream cult. So you're at this meeting in the hotel bar. The guy is going through some of the programs. At any point, did he say a program that really stuck out to you and you're like, that's something I would like to do? And did you feel at all like, well, okay, this is something I could dip my toe in?
Well, not really, because I was a terrible... You know, probably the worst person to try to recruit for something like that.
Yeah.
Because everything he would say is like, oh, this 6-month program, this 8-month program, something.
And what
is
were
there
some
something
of the...
that's like 2 hours? You know?
Yeah, immediately, like, that's a lot of commitment. Yeah. We just started dating. Let's not move in together.
I can't watch a full television series. I try to watch The Wire, and I eventually glaze over where I can't.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
What were some of the programs?
I mean, it was all the ESP thing, the Executive Success Program, but it was like you could do it for 6 months going, I think it was several times a week, all day. And then there was one that was shorter. So,
and would you go like upstate or would you stay in New York?
There were ones in New York.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there were ones. I think they do a lot of stuff here in the city, probably because it's easier. And I think if you wanted to go a little bit deeper, then you'd go to Albany.
Right.
But like I said, I immediately started making him go to the most basic, you know, level, because there's no way I would ever, even if it was a super legit thing, you know, commit to something crazy like that.
Right.
When he's pitching you the program, is he saying like, this is going to help you personally and professionally? Like, this is going to be a thing that you're going to come out of this being a better businesswoman, like better at what you do, and then also better at relationships?
Yeah. It was mostly like sort of better at what you do, better about knowing what you want to do.
Right.
Like a total kind of self-help, personal fulfillment.
Yeah.
You'll have the power to, you know...
conquer the world.
Exactly. Like, it's very similar to Scientology in a way.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because a lot of people, I don't think that Tony Robbins does this. We talked about that before we recorded it as well. He's like, I'm not a guru. This is not a cult. Go about your day after we're done here. But a lot of cults, did you get the sense that they were trying to break you down? Like right away being like, you're not good enough. I know your relationships are failing. You probably want a better job, don't you? Well, with this program, you're going to be the person you always want to be. Because oftentimes I feel like they try to malign the person, so they start to feel like, oh, I am bad. And then that person then just goes to them, because now they feel like garbage.
Yeah.
It's almost abusive. It's an abusive relationship in some ways.
I didn't quite get that vibe from this guy. I think he probably sensed right away that probably wouldn't have worked.
Right.
But he didn't go that way. So it was more just like, this is how your life is going to be better. This is how this is going to help you, without necessarily like putting me down beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you impressed that you were talking to a higher up like this fast? Like,
well,
this guy just kind of showed up?
I didn't know. And I didn't really know. I didn't connect the dots or anything until recently, when I was looking at something on Reddit, and then the word sounded familiar, Nexium. And I went on my emails and I just typed in the search box Nexium, and all these emails popped up from 2013. And that's when I realized that, like, oh crap, it was those people.
Well, how did that feel, knowing, I mean, we're seeing all the images of the branding, we're hearing these horrific stories of really just unbelievable abuse, both physical and sexual, or obviously those are, but both sexual and other forms of physical abuse. How did that feel when you were like, well, dodged a bullet there?
Yeah, it was a little surreal, especially because I've, for most of my life, been interested in cults and researching these kind of things.
Yeah.
Gotta get ya.
To kind of think that I came close. Yeah.
Right, right.
It was strangely exciting.
Really?
Yeah, because then you get to be in the story. I started doing bullshit yoga in my neighborhood in LA.
Is it literally called bullshit yoga?
I walked into this place, and after a while, I was just like, well, this is a cult. Like, this is obviously a cult. And it, so many times you walk into a different LA establishment, and we're just like, oh man, I just had lunch with a full-on cult. But lunch is free, and it's like, oh, cool, yeah. I got a free burrito, I got a sandwich coupon.
I know, I feel like L.A. could make a cult out of, like, really good ice cream.
Well, do you know that I was talking to, I'm looking at the research, Edgar Boone was the money man in Mexico, and then officially they've cut ties from him officially, but he has a parking spot in the Albany Nexium parking garage where he's been demoted to a blue sash because he was up towards a silver sash. A sash is what they wear identifying sashes depending on how many courses they've sold.
So when did he give you the hard pitch?
It was all then. And then he put me in touch with one of, I don't know, somebody that worked there that started sending me all the forms and things. And
okay.
I had like a couple of very simple follow-up questions, and then I just kind of stopped replying.
What were
the
follow-up
emails?
Questions? Because I was looking at the forms, and they are like, oh, this is a lot. It's a lot of a form.
Yeah.
A lot of a form, and they are very, it's stressing quite a bit of like how much money it is,
yep,
how much money we need up front, and how do we get the money as fast as humanly possible. And it says you only have 3 business days to not incur fees. Like, you can cancel without it, but then what does that even mean? So they can just take your money, and then legally they have the contract.
Yeah, I was just asking, like, oh, when does it start? I knew at that point that I wasn't interested,
okay,
but I didn't want to be rude.
Right.
You know, so
how many people got involved because they didn't want to be rude?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
And then the guy, Edgar, emailed me one last time saying, like, hey, we never heard back from you. I really want to sign you up for this.
God.
What's going on? And I didn't reply to that email. And he had my phone number. And
any change in tone?
It got a little pushy towards the end.
Yeah.
Especially via, like, phone conversations. And I remember at the end just being like, hey, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
If I'm ever interested, I'll contact you.
Okay.
And that was it.
And they didn't.
They did, yeah. I think he got it that I was not going
to
do it.
I didn't realize it's over $3,000 up top, right?
Yeah.
That's what you have to give them. And then you got to give them $660. And then every month for a year, and I would assume they probably just, I'm assuming you can't cancel the contract very easily.
No.
It's $300 a month. I had no idea how expensive this thing was.
Those things usually are really expensive.
It's a car payment.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's a full-on car payment per month to go and essentially have your life stripped away. So, but you have never, did anyone ever talk about Vanguard or Prefect or any of that shit?
I don't remember him talking about that dude. I mean, maybe he might have mentioned that it was like based on the studies of.
So no comment of like Nexium or Keith or Nancy Selzman.
I mean,
Nexium
is sort of the whole thing.
Right.
So there was a comment of that, but there was no comment on any of the other stuff.
Okay.
And so I don't know if, you know, I'm sure that there's hundreds of people that do this and never find out about, like, do the executive success programs and never find out about the other weird stuff with the slaves and the branding.
Right.
But, I mean, who knows, you know? Like, if you're a woman and you're there and you show certain qualities that maybe they know are going to, you know, you might be a little bit more
fit
for that.
What did you think when we hear about, like, Allison Mack? And what's the name of the girl that now she's married to?
Nikki Krug, I believe it is.
What did can you give some insight from a female perspective? Because obviously we are not that.
Thank you.
when it comes to like Allison Mack, what's the power of having someone like that be a recruiter?
I think it probably makes people feel a little bit safe, like it's okay, you know? And I think that happens with, you know, like you see it with Scientology as well when you have celebrities. People feel like they know them.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, like, oh, you're a celebrity. I see you on TV. Like, how could you do something wrong? You're probably this perfect person. I mean,
right.
So it probably makes women feel like it's legit. It's okay. Look at this famous person. Maybe there's, you know, you kind of want to be like them a little bit. And so I can see that helping make women feel a little bit more comfortable and okay with doing
just found
things.
Some news that is Allison Mack. There was some things that popped out. Yeah, this came out yesterday. People went through her Twitter and found that she had actively pursued Emma Watson, Noor Taghori, I believe, Katie Baker, several other big actresses.
She literally added them, right? She added them on Twitter
and started tweeting at them, saying, "Hey, I'm a part of this movement. You got to be a part of it." And the first thing that Emma Watson said was like, "So you're a part of a feminist movement, this jeunesse group, but it's fronted by a man. So the whole thing is technically ran by a man at the behest of a man, but you're saying it's this like weird feminist program." That's a very strange cognitive dissonance to try to get over on people.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, as far as using feminism as a tool, I mean, I guess this group was really able to use that as great bait for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Was that brought up, or was it more focused on business with this guy? It seems like they gave you the money guy. I don't know if they change. I guess Allison Mack was recruiting for the feminism thing, and then this guy was recruiting more because he's like, this is a businesswoman. Yeah. And I'm going to help her with that.
Yeah, I think that was the case for sure. But yeah, it's crazy to see what would happen in that like special group of women and their whole like slave relationship and how they try to paint that as a feminist thing.
Right.
It makes no sense. It's crazy. And then blackmailing, you know, like the whole thing about getting material.
Oh yeah, of course, all the nude photos and things like that.
Yeah.
Have you spoken to your sister since this is broke? And I mean, is she like talking to her buddy, being like, "Get out of there," you know?
When this happened, when I realized what these people were, I immediately talked to my sister because, I mean, like in our relationship, my sister is really into a lot of like alternative, medicine things, and I'm the one that's always like, "Don't." That's not.
Don't do it.
Just don't.
Yes, you cannot afford that product on Goop. Just put it down. Like, close off the website.
Just go to the doctor. So when this happened, it was another one of those times where I was like, "Dude, you were sending me to a cult." And she was like, "I know."
She better have felt a little guilty.
She was like, "I know. I found out too."
Yeah. Like, when were you going to alert me?
Yeah, and she said that several years ago, after I had talked to this guy and before everything kind of broke, they went down to our hometown and they had this big thing with, you know, business people from our city and selling the executive success programs and things. And my sister, I guess, met with somebody and she was thinking about it. And then one of her close friends, who is also kind of a fairly well-known person in Mexico, kind of took her aside and was like, "Don't, it's not for you. Don't even go there."
Whoa. So so people kind of knew.
I think he probably knew that there was a lot of weird stuff happening.
Right.
You know? It seems like the Mexican side of this story, what's happening in Mexico right now, seems to be like the legit an insane push.
Well,
like, it sounds like they were really trying to influence the government of Mexico.
When we talked about like there's like 150 or so people who were really sticking with Keith here in the whole thing, is that all in Mexico or is that upstate too?
I think it's upstate, and I think a lot of you talked about the Bronfman sisters.
Yep.
Like, there's still a lot of money here.
Okay.
But then back in Mexico there's also like a big group. I don't know if they're sticking by him right now. Like, I'm not sure if they're trying to make the executive success thing its own thing and trying to separate themselves from all of that, but it doesn't seem like they are.
Nancy Salzman seems like she is purposely distancing herself from him and gonna scoop it.
Oh, really?
Like, she's gonna come. It seems like Nancy Salzman's gonna be like, "I'm in charge now," and pull a Sheila from the Rajneesh people.
Yeah.
And take
did you
control.
Watch that
yeah.
Wild, Wild
oh,
Country?
I did. Yeah, yeah,
I'm on episode 3. It's fascinating so far.
Oh, it gets so much crazier.
What do you think is like the do you think this is the end, number one? Or as Henry was alluding to, do you think Nancy just takes it and this becomes something totally different?
It's hard to tell because so many times you think that these things are for sure going to end once the information's out, but they don't. Like, look at Scientology, look at, you know, there's still people that are part of Heaven's Gate, I think. Like, there's, it's almost like as if it doesn't matter how much is known. And
well, and sometimes it solidifies and hardens their belief and hardens their faith in the leader character there.
Well, what's fucked up is that some of their weird woo-wee-woo self-help stuff, it helps at the very beginning. That's where Scientology helps a lot of time. People talk about all the time, like learning about focus, learning about like what they teach them about intention, especially for fucking actors in Scientology. It's like great for it because you get to go play a role. You get to go scream at a bunch of ashtrays. It's kind of interesting. You're like you're getting out. It's better than going to a stupid acting class. You get to go to this weird center and you're playing with your imagination. And the ESP programs says a couple of their weird Ayn Randy, like capitalist ideas seem to actually, like Richard Branson says, I was inspired by the ESP programs. It's like there were people that went through shit in these programs and actually got something out of it in a weird way. And it's not till you're hanging around just being like, oh, no, I'm not going to make love to you, Keith. Well, like my family does not belong to you, Keith. I just wanted to be have an airline.
I mean, that's where this whole thing turned toxic, and that's what's so, you know, sad about it too, because maybe some of the strategies would help people.
Yeah.
But then this guy just brought on so much of his own ego and so much of his own narcissism, and just really made it a horrible, horrible thing.
Which seems inevitable with all of these things. I mean, how many seemingly innocent groups, you know, like gurus or, I mean, there was a crazy case with like a yoga teacher that ended up.
Yep.
It just seems to be the inevitable end anytime one person starts to get so much power over a group of people.
Have you thought about what would have happened, what your life would look like if in 2013, you make a different decision, you succumb to the pressure.
You could have been in beautiful Mexico, washing the feet of the smartest man that's ever lived.
The scientist, philosopher,
mathematician. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at us. And look at us. He's sitting there. He's got the fake sound walls. I'm surrounded by blankets held up by PVC pipe. Maybe we should join ESP.
Maybe, yeah. If that's the conclusion at the end of all of this is that we join. I think that might be disheartening to some folks. Have you ever thought about that, though?
Yeah, I definitely did. I'd like to think that because I have spent so much of my time reading about cults and, you know, things like that, that I would have immediately gotten the signs and just gotten out of there. Maybe I would have stayed out of curiosity just to kind of feel like I had infiltrated a cult. But there's also a chance that I would have done it and it would have just been the executive thing and I would have been done with it and that was it.
Right.
But who knows? Who knows?
I mean, that's...
If I was in a particularly vulnerable time in my life, so if I had seen results, maybe.
Right.
I mean, who knows if I wouldn't have wanted to continue, you know, and see where it could all lead.
Yeah, that's what I was saying also before. It was like my friend who turned to he chose Christianity, but he was just super depressed and he found Jesus one weekend and then he changed. But if you just stick it out, you will you will do it. You will get better. But then, of course, when you do attribute any of your getting better to these organizations, then that's how you really get hooked in.
Exactly.
Yeah, because then you're starting to see results, right?
Right.
Like once you start seeing results, then you're stuck. And then all of a sudden, what we find with a lot of these cult members is that if you then have to tread back and say, I made a mistake, it's like you've wasted all this time. You've wasted all this money. You're forever trying to validate the reasons why you chose this lifestyle, because if not, it means you've been living a fraud and it's very difficult to wrap your head around that you've been living a lie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why people double down when like the truth comes out. It's really hard for them to get out.
Do you think it's going to be a big scandal for the Mexican government at some point? I mean, how infiltrated are they?
I don't know. I mean, I imagine that the goal was more to get powerful people with big names to attract more people and to give it legitimacy. I don't know if there are any actual like policy goals. And I mean, the Mexican government is crazy.
Yeah.
So even if they wanted to accomplish a little bit, I mean, I keep saying that, you know, the goal, the Trump would say, make America great again. And he's making America into Mexico. Like the things that are happening here are sounding so familiar to
me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bringing in the family and those
exactly.
kinds of-
and not so much the family, but just people that are completely unqualified, that have no intentions of doing anything right, that seem to just want to destroy everything. There is, the only goal is to get money, get richer. So I feel at home now.
That's good. Yeah. Well,
I'm
isn't
so glad.
That the ultimate irony of the Trump
I'm so
presidency?
Glad.
Yeah. We are, but in the end, I always believe things equalize.
I do believe that all
of these people will get exactly what's coming to them.
Yes.
I hope so.
What I would say, so what about now? Why don't you just join now and try to go undercover? Do you think that maybe if you could join now with the mentality and you get all the way to the top and then you bust it open yourself because you can now.
Are you basically, you wanted to pull out the plot of Dragnet?
Yes.
With Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks.
Yes.
So
you join the cult. You go in. You work your way up. You get the gold sash. You wash a couple of feet. Again, that's it. Maybe you get a brand.
Like
it'll be a cool
one.
Story.
Yeah. Maybe we do it together.
I'm in.
They don't want more men.
Podcast infiltration.
Rainier doesn't want to look at us.
What I mean is like, I do it for you guys, you know, and then at the end we do like a 5-program series on the infiltration of NXIVM.
I love it. I love it.
I really like
this. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking. I mean, it's just crazy to think, as we talked about with Brock Wilbur, how this stuff really, it's just so blatant, it's so obvious, and it's just so real.
Subtle because it seems to happen so fast. Like you were in a meeting. Like it went like you sent an email and then all of a sudden you were actively full court press being recruited.
And just getting pressured, you know? It's like how many people, I really do want to know, how many people join a cult because they don't want to be rude?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many people stay because, they think maybe it's a interesting case study. But then slowly but surely, you just end up becoming one of the people you're studying.
Yeah, especially if they get, you know, materials to blackmail you and then you have no choice.
Right.
Which is another thing that they say in Scientology, you know? So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
I'm so happy you didn't join the cult.
I am really glad you didn't join.
I'm proud of everyone who didn't join a cult. And I'm proud of everyone who got out of a cult. Congratulations.
Congrats. You did it. So now you know, like, no matter what happens today, you did one. You got one in the win column. That's how I feel when I get my pants on.
Yes. Check.
I just bought some new pants from Old Navy, and they're stretchy, which I did not know, but it's quite beneficial.
That is great.
Yeah, I actually kind of was offended, but then I put them on, and I said, yes, I do need this. So Old Navy, a cult in itself. all right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for giving to our Patreon. Hail yourselves. Henry, anything you want to say?
If Old Navy was a cult, they'd start calling it like ON. That's how you know when Old Navy finally shifts into cult.
That's good. And you can finally wear and put the clothes on because they made them stretchy for people like me.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
No problem.
And thank you guys for listening. Hail Satan.
Hail yourselves, everyone. And Magoostalations.